alive and kicking on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com or find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, clinical hypnotherapist Fiona Brennan answers one of your emails on how to cope with family over the festive season. And the fabulous pharmacist Laura Dowling on her 2024 Viva La Vulva Tour, which hopes to change the conversation around women's health. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, it's all a bit bonkers, isn't it? I mean, no matter how many times you say you're not going to get caught up in it all, you just end up caught up in it all. But it's all good, really. I am a fan of the festive season. I love the meetups, the fairy lights, the making time for people and making a point of saying thank you to people for everything in the year. But there's something about that end of year energy that, you know, before you're about to go on holiday and just in the days leading up to your last day at work or whatever, it feels like you are crawling through it all. You seem to get more tired than ever before because your body knows it's getting a break. It's a bit like that at the end of a year energy, except we have to literally rev ourselves right up for all that Christmas brings. But I suppose with everything going on in the world, we're very lucky to have these kind of problems on our hands. But yes, I think we're all sort of feeling it. And the thing to do is just take a step back, take a deep breath and realise what's truly important. And I've been noticing this week that I seem to have certain parts of my life in balance. So the marriage is in balance, my kids are in balance, but my own self-care had taken a dip recently. The gym had been swapped out for standing pitch side and actually listening to my kids when they were talking to me. But I was starting to personally feel a bit lethargic and blah. So I've pulled it back, not the listening or the marriage, but just making sure that I am fitting in time for myself and then I feel the balance. But we can't have everything in flow at all times. And it's really important that we're flexible within our health and well-being and we go easy on ourselves. And there's just one more point I'd like to make. It's a cautionary tale of sorts, that you should avoid Irish coffee at the end of your girl's Christmas lunch if you can, or at least have the sense to order a decaf. I didn't, and I thought I was great ending the night of a few drinks on a water and leaving at 10 o'clock. It was a Sunday night after all. And I got into bed at 11, thought I was amazing, and then basically twitched and twisted and turned until 5 a.m. as the caffeine coursed through my veins. Do not make the same mistake I did. Monday this week was not easy. I was a shell of a person. I mean, in fact, I wish I'd stayed out with the girls instead of going home. Whatever your week has been, hang in there. You can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, once a month, clinical hypnotherapist Fiona Brennan joins us to answer one of your queries. You can email them in to us, anything that's going on in life, however big or small it may seem. aliveandkicking@newstalk.com is the email address and it is always open to you. And this month, of course, we are looking at the festive period, which can apply a whole lot of different pressures on people. And Fiona Brennan joins me in studio now. Fiona, how are you?
I'm great, Claire. Thank you.
It's a busy time, isn't it, for people? You can sense that energy changing and there's a lot of positives about it, but it can be overwhelming.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you can feel it on the streets, can't you? There's that sense of adrenaline starting to increase and, you know, work is still going on for people. And yet we've got all of this extra kind of responsibility now in terms of purchasing presents and organising dinners and all of that. It really does. It does take its toll on people.
And I always feel, you know, especially if I have a holiday or something coming up or some sort of break, in the lead up to that, you kind of reach extreme exhaustion. So it's like we know there's a break coming. I know it's a break with a difference, but whether it's the Christmas break we're going to get or the turn of the new year that's coming, in the lead up to that, we tend to really start to run low.
We do. It's almost like, as you said, we're pushing ourselves that little bit extra because we know that we're going to have a break. And there, a lot of people do actually get more colds and flus, etc., because their body finally just has permission to rest and relax.
I know. That's why lots of people get sick on holidays and sick during the break. So, we don't wish that on anybody.
No, not for News Talk, Claire McKenna listeners. Not under our watch.
We're sending out our magic spell and ways to keep yourself together, because there is such an emphasis on the positives around Christmas and what an amazing time it is. And all the ads are showing this picture perfect ideal. And yet it can be a really difficult time for people too, especially in contrast to how we're supposed to, in air quotes, be feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that those images, you know, and that sort of almost it's a bit like the fairy tale, isn't it? The romantic images that we're conditioned with don't often match how we're feeling. And it's a time of many mixed emotions, to be honest. Like, we are very joyful. We're happy. It's a time of love and connection. But then it also brings up many issues that have not really been dealt with over the year. So they can sort of come to the surface, let's say, because there is that sense of finally winding down and really spending more time with our families. And because of that, it just brings things up that have been there under the surface, but now they've got more time to kind of show themselves, if you like. And I think that's what's really tough for people is that mixed emotions. You know, it's hard to know what to feel.
Yeah. And, I even have Christmas decorations that say joy and peace on them. But for people, loneliness can be a big feeling. Loss can be a big feeling because you can be missing certain things in your life or certain people.
Absolutely. If you had a bereavement during the year or even in the last few years, then that's going to, not even the last few years, I would say we always miss. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. You know, there's that sense of loss of someone that you really feel their absence at Christmas. It's again highlighting something that's always there, but just much more clear and heartfelt because of the memories and because of the times that have gone before. So it does bring up so much in that sense.
Yeah, and I just think it's right for us to allow those feelings and to acknowledge that people are going to be feeling that way, because sometimes to even say you're not alone there, you know, not everybody is pulling crackers and cracking up laughing all day long. That's not how life is.
Yeah, like there's a place for melancholy, there's a place for sadness, and it needs to be welcomed in, you know. And I think it's what you said there is really important, is that acknowledgement. So we can do that for each other in our families. You know, we tend to kind of feel awkward around, you know, these kind of things, whether it's someone who's very ill with cancer or a death. People tend to, because they feel awkward, they don't actually say what they really want to say. But I would suggest that you take the courage and say, you know what, I'm sure it's hard for you this year. You must be missing your dad, for example, right? And you actually express it. And that acknowledgement is very healing for people, because it's bringing it into the table. It's saying this is, you know, a whole range of emotions are going to be felt here, and we welcome them all.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the email address is always open to you to send in an issue that you might have going on in life, and Fiona comes in monthly to answer them. The email address is aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. And when we were talking about this one, Fiona, you said, I'll get into it now, I'll read it, but this is something you hear a lot in clinic.
Yeah, really is. It kind of is a culmination of lots of different clients over the years, really, and how they feel, and it's very understandable.
Right. Well, this listener says, I know we're supposed to love Christmas, but every year from October on, I start to dread it. I don't see my family very often as I live in a different city. When I do see them, I usually try to keep the visit to one night. But for Christmas, I always go for a week. There is always an exception on me to come for that long, to bring expensive gifts, to cook and clean and to look after everyone. I really hate it. And yet I find myself spending and doing more each year. Christmas was always a tense time when I was a child. The stress always took away from the joy. Things are better in the house now, but I still feel uncomfortable, especially when there is too much alcohol on the table. All I want to do is run away and close the door. When I go quiet, my mum will start to nag me and I act like a teenager. I'm in my early 30s and most of the time feel really happy with my life, my boyfriend, my job and my friends. I hate feeling this way about Christmas. It seems so petty in a world with genuine problems. My younger siblings all seem to be really looking forward to it each year, and this just makes me feel worse. Help. Sorry for the rant, but I just don't know what to do. And again, you say there are lots of people who are feeling this way.
Absolutely. And to be honest, you know, it's not a rant. It's really therapeutic to get that out, you know, and that's what people say when they actually put it to paper, when they write it down, it can be in itself healing, just expressing it. So she's definitely not alone. The first thing I would say is that, you know, the avoidance, let's say, during the year, that she doesn't see her family much during the year and she would keep it short and sweet, is probably what, it's like I was saying, it's kind of escalating whatever is there. It's kind of snow, it's building up like a snowball, if you like, effect. And so when she does have, she jumps from one day to one week, it's quite a, you know, it's a very different thing to spend that amount of time with your family. So I think that really the deeper side of this is that there is those expectations on how and why we tend to kind of try to live up to them. You know, it sounds like she's definitely the eldest in the family. So there's probably responsibility on her that she's kind of just purely by her birth order has, you know, had to take on, if you like. And it's really about kind of trying to find a way to break those patterns. So there's an inner conflict going on in terms of, she expresses how every year she ends up spending more, both time and money and effort, and yet hates herself for it. So really, it's taking that step back and saying, do you know what, this year I don't have to go overboard. I don't have to spend as much. I don't have to give as much. Because when we give from a place that isn't full, there's going to be that layer of resentment and it's never going to feel right for either party. So I would suggest that, you know, that really the ability to stop looking for, and this takes a lot of time and effort and you know, courage, is that we're conditioned to seek our parents' approval, no matter how old we are. There's that sense of just wanting that validation, which is why we can tend to go overboard and really try to get approval. So what I would say, and what I think will really help here, is being able to see that she doesn't need her parents' approval anymore. It's not about conflict. It's not about looking for disapproval, but it's about really stepping into your own skin. And I think the 30s are a time, you know, if you can remember what it's like, you know, that sense of there's so much going on. There's a lot of, you know, decisions to be made, whether you're buying a house, whether you're deciding to, you know, settle down with a partner, have a child. It's a time of great growth. So that's probably going on for her as well. And she's carving out her own life. So that can come in contrast when you go back home and feel like the teenager again. And we've all felt like that. I know I have. And it can feel really uncomfortable because you're this mature, sensible person in the world. And all of a sudden you feel very vulnerable. So it's a case of deciding that, yes, this pattern was there when I was a child, you know, this sort of subconscious, unintentional pattern that we fall into within our families, again, depending on birth order, etc. But that you're waking up out of that and you're saying, I'm meeting you now as an equal, you know, that the relationship is changing, that yes, you're my mother, yes, you're my father, my sister, my brother. But we enter into a relationship that is different, that works on a sense of equality and respect and boundaries. And honestly, Claire, this does take time, but it really is about digging deeper within your own self and your relationship with your own self. And that's where that transition actually starts to happen.
So this is inner work, because she says, I really feel like I have to look after everybody. So there are times, and people are going to feel it up and down the country, when, you know, you're with family and you have to bite your tongue sometimes. So is there something more positive to say to yourself when you feel that happening? Because it's our perception, really, isn't it? I mean, maybe her parents don't want her to look after them. Maybe her siblings don't need to be looked after anymore. Chances are they're in their 20s now. So
yes,
it's
yeah.
just a role that we begin to continue to take on. So
exactly.
What do we do in the moment to stop the pattern when we feel that resentment hit, when we feel that
yes.
anger?
Well, what Kristen Neff, who studies self, or is, you know, one of the leading experts on self-compassion, would talk about a self-compassionate break. Okay. So this is where you take yourself out of the situation because you feel, as you say, you're starting to feel aware that you need to bite your tongue. And one of the things that I think is important to highlight is that this listener, you know, she says she feels bad because it's petty, she said. We've got to move away from that, because when you feel that your emotions are not valid or petty, you're not giving them full, you know, you're not giving yourself compassion. And compassion is about relieving the suffering of yourself and others. So this is a sense where you need to actually say, this is difficult, this is challenging for me, to acknowledge it within yourself and to just gently, you know, you don't actually even have to remove yourself completely because that can be quite dramatic. You don't want to be look like you're stalking off and a teenager is going to make it worse.
Slamming a few doors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just literally within yourself, it's like you kind of sort of return within and just maybe a hand to a heart and saying, it's okay, you're doing your best. But on a practical level, like I definitely think there's things here that will help this listener. And I would say the first thing is don't buy into it, right? In terms of buying the gifts and also to shorten the time that she's going. I think that she needs to spend time, like it's her holiday. I'm sure she's working hard. So why not spend a few days with her boyfriend or her friends or both, or, you know, just take some time for herself. Then I would say that, you know, the self-compassionate break is a good thing to do, to go within and say, it's okay, you're doing your best, your hand to your heart, very soothing. I would also say that what's helpful is to actually really search for the good in each of your family member, to start to change the filter of how you're looking at them. Because with conditioned eyes, you know, we can start to unconsciously and unintentionally, and it's not our fault, see that what annoys us about them. And we want to break that habit. So actually starting to look and say, oh my God, I never realized like how funny or how kind my father is, for example. And you start to really look for the good in them and not let it build up over the year. So it sounds like this girl, she needs to spend some time throughout the year looking at those patterns, at those relationships, and actually preempting so that by next Christmas, what I'd love, and I'm already visualizing it, is that by next Christmas, you're going in there much, much stronger, much more in control, much more able to be compassionate to yourself, which is going to then lead to you being compassionate to others. So your family, when they do say that annoying, when they're pushing those buttons, you know, that you're able to kind of just take that step back and go, well, that's all right. You know, they don't mean it. It's not that big a deal. Now, obviously, that's all within healthy boundaries. But it does sound like there's deeper layers here when she talks about family Christmas as a child, when she talks about alcohol. You know, those are real factors that need attention and care and the ability to release and you know, understand and process them.
Yeah, because the one thing that we can always return to, we can't really control other people. We really can't. The only thing we can control is our reaction to that. And obviously that is easier said than done. But it's okay for us to pull up some boundaries. It's okay to say, I'm not going to do a week, I'm going to do 3 nights.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to stay the night, I'm going to stay with a friend. It is okay to speak up for what we need.
I think it's actually so much better. It's better for everyone because, like I said, if you're giving from a place that isn't full, it's not going to be genuine. It's not going to come from a place of love. It's coming from a place of duty and, you know, rather than really enjoying the time that you have together, making it quality rather than quantity. And it's necessary to do that because you are an adult now and you have that, you know, you have that authority over your own life to be able to say, actually, do you know what? I need some time. I've been working really hard and I'm going to take some time for myself.
Yeah.
Head up high.
Yeah.
Breathe deep. You can do it.
Yes. And we wish you all the best. Great advice there. Now, something I would love to find under my Christmas tree is a ticket to your Light Up 2024 Crete retreat. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, thank you, Claire. Yes. that's a lovely way of expressing it. Yeah, basically, I work with small groups of people and on a retreat, especially abroad, right? And this is something like, for example, when this, let's say this person, let's imagine this person came to the retreat in Crete, she would have the opportunity to really delve a little bit deeper into these issues. And the theme for Light Up 2024 is self-compassion. So I will be training people and working with people really to help them to love themselves more deeply, to understand their own behavior. And when you do that in a place that is away from all of family, a way that there's no agenda and you're with people in a non-judgmental, safe place where you can express yourself fully, that is very, very transformative. And I've seen it time and time again. And it's just very uplifting to see people move from a place of, you know, quite often limited beliefs or fears, into a place where they're really moving towards self-liberation. So it's on Crete in June. It won't be too hot, and it will be meditation, yoga, you know, so practicing a lot of the lifestyle medicine tools that are essential, and an opportunity to really work on yourself in a group of people who are there to support you.
And people might think, oh God, no group, I couldn't be sharing my innermost secrets with a group. But on the one hand, it's very inner. What you share is up to you. And a lot of your work will be with yourself.
Yeah.
But to do something in a group, there's real magic there because there's real solidarity and you can make absolute friends for life. And sometimes you will share something and four people in the group will be nodding their heads emphatically because we're all pretty much going through the same issues in different ways.
Yes, it really is. And it's one of the key components of self-compassion is that, you know, common humanity, that we, when we realize we're not alone, it's very, very transformative because you go, I'm not the only person here who's worried about Christmas with my family this year. You know, it's not that picture perfect image on TV that we're looking at. It is something that when you're in a group, like you said, Claire, you share and you liberate yourself through each other and the group helps one another. They also become, you know, supporting to one another. It's not just me leading it. It's like we're all teaching and learning at the same time.
Yeah, well, people can find out more. You'll find Fiona on Instagram at The Positive Habit. And I must say, while we're on the Picture Perfect, my favourite ad this year, it's about doing away with all the Christmas tradition. It's like have the Christmas you want, but it's, you know, Christmas your way. If you don't want crackers, don't do crackers. If you don't want Brussels sprouts, yeah, don't do Brussels sprouts. If you don't want to do a week with your family, do two days.
Yeah,
it's okay. Fiona That's Brennan, fantastic. As always, thank you so, so much for coming on.
Thanks, Claire.
Alive and kicking. On News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, the fabulous pharmacist Laura Dowling stepped away from the chemist counter and dispensing to launch a supplements range, a podcast, and continue to grow her online community. She's heading on tour next year to change up the conversation around women's health, and she joins me in studio now. Laura, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you did come on the show. I mean, it must be over a year ago when you were launching Fabu Wellness, mm-hmm, and your supplement range. So how has your year been?
It's been great. It's been very busy. I feel like I got on a train and, you know, the way I can't get off it now. It's mental. I launched three new products the end of May this year. So I had three products last year, brought three new products out this year. So for skin, like skin and hair, brain and gut. And I also have a live tour coming in 2024.
And you launched a podcast, which has gone to the top of the health and well-being charts time and time again. You've really enjoyed that, I can tell. It's really lighting you up doing that, isn't it?
I do. I love it, actually. It's a lot of work podcasting, though. I think people think you can just go in and, you know, talk to people. But it is a lot of work, just certainly in the background with the producing and the editing and all that of it. But I do love it, actually. It gives you me an opportunity to have really long conversations with people that or in-depth conversations that I suppose Instagram and Facebook probably wouldn't lend themselves to. But if I'm going to be talking to a doctor that has a speciality in something, I want to deep dive into that. So people can listen to it in however way they want. They can. I know people that would listen to it, say, cleaning the house or going for a run, or they might listen to it in parts. So yeah, I just, and obviously maybe they don't want to listen to all the episodes, but they will listen to certain ones that catch their attention. So yeah, I'm a bit for rule breaking.
Yeah, because you're brave and bold, which I love, because you dress as Wonder Woman and rock up with your vulva puppet at like the Galway races, you name it, she's there. She's the sister dressed as a vulva and you do not care. You're there to break down taboos and talk about topics that people shy away from.
Yeah, I think that you need to be a little bit out there to do that. And particularly when it comes to health and wellness and women's health issues in particular, you can be very serious about them, but if you add a little bit of humour, then everyone kind of gets it and people are happy to talk about it. So that's why the Wonder Woman was created. And then obviously my sister dresses as a life-size vulva. But actually I'm getting new costumes made. I'm getting a really plush vulva, because the vulva that we currently have that my sister puts on, it looks, it gets mistaken for a hot dog sometimes. You know, it's a bit limp looking. So I'm getting really plush lips made. Everyone will definitely know what it is. It will not be mistaken for a hot dog, put it that way, at the next Galway races.
Who makes these? I mean, this puppet, did you have these made? We have two puppets in front of us here.
We have two vulva puppets in front of us here, yes. So, no, I had to buy them from the States. So I bought them from a lady who hand makes them. It's called, what's her name? It's called Wondrous Vulva Puppet. So she actually hand makes them. So I got one sent over to me initially, and it's a beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful specimen. It's a bit rough around the edges now at this time. It's been to a lot of talks, okay? So I got her in last February and she's come to every talk with me since. So then I got another vulva sent over, a black vulva, so for inclusivity. So I have two now that I lash out at every time I do a corporate event, or if I go to, you know, a women's library talk and discuss their anatomy with them and just women's health in general. Because I think it's good to make it lighthearted, but it's good to point out to women that they really should know what their bits look like, feel like, so when they're normal, so that when there's issues there, they can go and get it seen to. But it's about giving women and young girls and young boys the language around the women's bodies, so there's no shame around it. Because I saw so much shame when I was practicing pharmacy around women's issues and women not wanting to talk about, say, vaginal atrophy, leaking, pelvic floor issues. So, and women that would have been put up with pain, with not having sex for 15 odd years, with issues leaking, having to wear dark trousers everywhere they go, needing to know where the toilet is everywhere they go, because and not being able to dance at weddings, not being able to run because they'd leak, but they'd be afraid to talk about it because they're embarrassed. Issues with vaginal atrophy, vulval atrophy as well, but putting up with pain, putting up with sexual dysfunction for many, many years because of the shame associated with the female body and the female anatomy. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna talk about this. And actually, when I started to talk about it, when I started doing public speaking, you could hear a pin drop, you know, if I mentioned the word orgasm or mentioned the word vulva. But now people are very, like, they loved it, but they're a bit shocked. But I think now they know what they're getting when they invite me to come and speak with them. So they're familiar with the kind of the language that I use. And that was what, you know, encouraged me to go and do this tour, Viva La Vulva tour. So I'm going to Galway. I'm bringing my vulvas, my vulvas, my vulva puppet, my team, and a whole range of healthcare professionals to Galway, Kerry and Cork in January and February.
And you asked people who follow you on Instagram, what should you name the show? And that's where Viva La Vulva came from.
Yeah.
I watched this happen in real time.
I did. I'm a great believer in asking the people that you are speaking with what they want. I've even asked them what order of events they would like for the evening now too, because I thought, you know, I'll get them in, we'll have the glass of Prosecco and then we'll have the first speaker on. But they were like, no, we want the glass of Prosecco and the meal first and then speak. So I'll do what they want. So yeah, I'm a great believer in asking people that are following me on Instagram what they want, because I've actually learned so much from asking them. And I've pivoted my business in so many ways from asking the audience, literally. And a few people come up with Viva La Vulva and I was like, that's it, Viva La Vulva. They came up with some other choice names for it that we couldn't possibly go live tour with.
I'm so embarrassed because I am one of your followers, and like, I put into the suggestion box a fabulous evening. I'm like, cop on, Claire. Like, come on, how boring. Viva La Vulva all the way. I'm so happy that you are more of a crusader clearly than I.
Well, I was talking to my dad about it as well, because I knew I was going to be doing the events. So I said, I don't know what to call it, Dad. Like, do you think Viva La Vulva? And he's like, oh, I don't, he's from Belfast. Oh, I don't think you should put the word Vulva in it. No, I don't think so. And I was like, I'm definitely doing it now. If a man in his 70s thinks it's wrong, it's actually right.
And I say, I'm embarrassed to say, I only started using the term vulva, I'd say, in the last 5 years. Like, that wasn't around when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, on into my 20s. That's not what you said. You said, like, down there, your new, all these different names that are given. And as you said, sometimes it's a bit funny, it's fine, but other times it leads to that shame and that secrecy and that inability to ask for support and help, not only with medical professionals, but with your friends, because we don't talk about it.
100%. And even giving little girls and little boys the proper language around their anatomy just empowers them. It enables little girls to know about their parts, to grow up with no shame around them, to tell someone if they feel that someone's been inappropriate with them. It just gives them power. And we all know that knowledge is power. And it tools women up for when they are getting older, or when they're, you know, they're going through whatever, you know, STIs, pregnancy, the issues that can happen a woman post-pregnancy, and then the issues that can happen a woman when she comes into her perimenopausal and postmenopausal years. We have estrogen receptors all over our body, and when our estrogen levels drop, issues happen with our pelvic floor, with our, you know, UTIs, with our vaginal health. And if women aren't given the language with which to explain how they're feeling or what's happening, then they tend to bury it, because women have been taught, oh, sure, listen, that's women's problems. Periods should be painful. You need to put up with painful childbirth. You need to put up with leaking. It's a normal part of having babies. But it's not, you know, it's not something that's normal. It's very common. But if a woman can ensure that she looks after her pelvic floor health by attending a women's health physio after the birth of her baby and getting the pelvic floor exercises that she needs, then she will be likely to be in much better health as she gets into her perimenopausal and menopausal years, when her estrogen levels drop, and it does cause a slackening in her pelvic floor. So everyone wins. You know, in France, they give out, in France, women are entitled to free women's health physios care for 6 months after having a baby. But in Ireland, there's nothing like that, unless you've a really bad tear. You know, you have to pay for it out of your own pocket. You're packed off with your baby. You're told, go do your squeezy exercises, breastfeed for 2 years and off you go. And there's very little support given. So women don't know where to look. And when people don't talk about it, then they don't know any better. They think they're the only one that's leaking, when in actual fact, one in three women will leak in their lifetime. They'll have issues with urinary incontinence. I haven't even spoken to you about fecal incontinence. And then one in two women will have issues with incontinence on some level, whether it be stress incontinence or more urge incontinence, postmenopausally due to the lack of estrogen in her body. But women don't talk about it because it's embarrassing to talk about the fact that they might leak. You know, it's not normal for someone to need a really thick pad to go about her day to day.
Yeah, and that there is support out there.
There's
once you start talking
support,
about it.
Yeah, and women love to know about sexual issues too, and they love to know about sex. People want to be having sex into their later years and enjoying it. But if a woman has issues with her vaginal health, if she has a dry vagina, if sex has been uncomfortable for years and she hasn't had it for years, it can have a knock-on effect on her self-confidence, on her relationship. It has so many knock-on effects. And the fact that women, you know, the question boxes that I put up on my Instagram, the confessions that women tell me, you know, they feel they're kind of getting lots off their chest. It really, and I put them up and they feel, oh my goodness, I'm not alone. So that's why I'm bringing the Viva La Vulva tour to the different parts of the country. I'm bringing a pelvic floor health specialist there, Aoife Harvey. She's a physiotherapist. She's brilliant. Grace Alice O'Shea is a sex therapist. We have Kyla Cobbler, who is a comedian from Cork. She's brilliant. And then we also have a lady who runs Ireland's online sex shopper. And we're just going to have a lot of fun, but it's going to be really educational. So I have actually got a message from a lady there saying, myself and my five sisters are going with my 85-year-old mother. Like, it's literally women of all ages will benefit.
I love that. I mean, the fact that it's fun alongside it, I think that's so important. It's great to go and have educational talks. And I know you go into a lot of workplaces. I think that's all really positive. But to go and have a girl's night.
Yeah.
And learn at the same time and laugh. I think that's the stuff that will really, really resonate.
It's so important, isn't it? And I've women messaged me going, can I come by myself? You know, I'm like, yes, you're going to make so many friends. And do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking like Moulin Rouge, like spectacular. Like, let's go wild.
Go glam.
Absolutely. You know, get the glad rags on, leave the kitchen messy, leave the laundry be done, tell your partner and your kids, that's your dream for the day, and you're going off and you're having this evening for yourself, and you're going to come out so empowered and so knowledgeable about your body. And then also with probably a little bit of homework to do as well on yourself.
Is it a man-free zone?
No. Men can come if they want, absolutely. But I have had men at my talks, and actually I was at the Dairy Women's Council talk a couple of weeks ago. I went and spoke to them, and there was two men up the front, and they were laughing the loudest at my talk. So they loved it. And a man actually came up to me afterwards. And, you know, I know women benefit a lot from the talks that I give. I always get some people coming up, trickling up to me afterwards and just asking me some questions or telling me they had issues for years. And I'd now, you know, made sure that they were going to go and talk to their doctor about it or talk to their partner about how they were feeling. But a young man came up to me after the dairy woman's talk, and he said to me, "I have a one-year-old little girl at home." He said, "That was the best talk I could ever have had for being a daddy to a little girl." He goes, "I am looking at her in such a different light, and you've actually given me now the language to use with her going forward. I'm just so happy I came today." Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And I got, you know, even as I was asking you, I was thinking, would I go to a men's health talk? I mean, outside of obviously working in health and wellness, I always would want to be educated. But then I'm thinking, yeah, like I have a husband, I have a son. Why wouldn't I want to be more educated on what goes on with them and maybe even understand them a little better?
Do you know what? 100%. And an older man came up to me as well. And it's only the men are standing out to me because obviously they were at the talk and they weren't my audience, say, because I get women talking to me all the time. But an older man came up to me and said he'd learnt more in that, I don't know, 45 minutes talk than he had in his 55 years about women's bodies, you know, and he'd only wished he'd known that years ago when his wife was going through menopause.
Well, I don't know how much I know about my own body. I mean, I feel I know myself, you know, on a health and well-being level, and I spend a lot of time on myself, but I don't think I could name all the parts of that puppet. And, you know, that's a real indication of the generation I grew up within.
Yeah.
Do you think that's starting to change?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think young girls now, like people talk about periods on TikTok and they talk about their cycle and they talk about, you know, easing off exercise at certain parts of their cycle and, you know, then increasing the intensity in other parts. They are given the language, but it starts with their mums and their grannies giving them the language too, and their dads and their brothers all knowing about it as well. So the more informed everyone is, the better. But certainly I think you're a my generation. So say I'm 43. I don't think that we grew up with all of that language. We certainly didn't grow up thinking about sex being a pleasurable act. It was always about, you know, reproduction.
Be careful you don't get pregnant.
Yeah, that, or be careful you don't get an STI. You
that
know,
even wasn't, the, that wasn't
it wasn't
language.
About sex should be pleasurable. It isn't something that's done to a woman. It's something that a woman can partake in and enjoy. And it's really, you know, it can be like there's some relationships that they are perfectly fine not having sex. But for others, it's like literally the glue in their relationship. Otherwise, they are just like brother and sister raising children. So that in and of itself can be so important to explain to women that as they get older, they might need a vaginal estrogen pessary, an estrogen cream, that they just go to the doctor and get a prescription. Unfortunately, they're not OTC over here in Ireland yet. You know, they're OTC over in England. Maybe eventually, maybe by the time I check out, we'll have come as far in Ireland to have estrogen pessaries over the counter. But that can be so simple. A little estrogen pessary, it's a teeny tiny tablet, like literally a smaller than a Tic Tac. A woman can put up into her vagina. It can plump up the vagina. It can help with that dryness. And it can help with urinary incontinence too. It can help with pelvic floor strength. It can help make sex more comfortable. So many issues can be resolved with it. And a woman can use it to her dying day, because once she stops using it, it just reverts back because the estrogen levels are low or non-existent as she gets older. So yeah, it's really important that women know these things. And I just don't think that we talk about it enough in Irish society. And certainly if something isn't available OTC like that, it's not going to be talked about too much, is it? Because it's prescription only. A woman has to go to the doctor. But if she knows that she can go to the doctor and get that, then it's really important that she's armed with that info.
Right. Well, hold it there. I'll have to take an ad break, but we'll be back with more from the fabulous pharmacist Laura Dowling after these.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking, where I am joined in studio by the fabulous pharmacist Laura Dowling. I don't know why I texted you recently and said, thank God you stepped out from behind the pharmacy counter. But really, thank God you did. Did you ever envisage where it would go? I mean, obviously you wouldn't have done it if you didn't want your brand to become successful and you didn't really have a passion to break down these taboos. But did you imagine you would be travelling around the country on a Viva La Vulva tour?
In a Volvo-mobile. My poor children. I have three boys. God love them.
That's why she's taking it all out and the rest of us. She's trying to gather girls around herself.
Oh, I tell you, I didn't envisage that this would happen. It's all been really quite organic. And I was always going to bring nutritional supplements to the market. Like, I've been researching and developing them for so many years, about 12 years. That was always going to happen. The Instagram kind of happened by accident, though. I just went online one day and started yapping away to the camera, and it worked, you know. And particularly over COVID, it kind of really resonated. And I think that's when you and I first kind of met, wasn't it? In around that time. So, yeah. And then obviously with the fact that I'd learned so much in my 20 years of pharmacy, and I'd seen the deficits in the knowledge that women had about their own health, I could see this menopause train coming years ago, you know, where we would eventually hopefully be all talking about it. And it's wonderful that we all are now. But unfortunately, I think that we've gone from talking about it never to now talking about it so much that everyone thinks it's a really negative thing. And everyone always talks about all the awful things that can happen, but they're not focusing on all the brilliant things that can happen, which is a really important conversation too, because it's a natural part of life. And so long as we know how to help ourselves and we tell our girlfriends how we can help each other, that will make it all the better for us. You know, I had a friend of mine message me, and she was only in her early, maybe late 30s. She goes, "Oh my goodness, like, I want to go on HRT now to avoid all this happening." So we can't give that message out either, you know, that you need to take HRT before you even start having symptoms. Obviously, HRT is brilliant, and it's so great that we're not talking about it in the negative way that was talked about for many years. But it isn't the answer for everyone, and certainly it isn't something that someone should want to go on as a prophylaxis, as opposed to, you know, you need to, I suppose, start to go through it, start to experience maybe the negative effects that menopause might have on you, and then go to the doctor and decide. But I just think there's too much negative talk too, which is why I want to bring fun and humour to it all, as opposed to just doom and gloom.
And you do it so well. Where can people find out more and get tickets to your tour?
Fabiwellness.com is my website. They can buy the tickets there. And we also have on Fabulous Pharmacist, at Fabulous Pharmacist on Instagram and Facebook. I talk a bit about it too.
Laura Downey.
And we have amazing goodie bags as well for everyone to know.
Worth €120, which is pretty good. And as you say, you get your dinner, your Prosecco, and
your dessert, and loads of fun.
And a giggle and an education. Well, to you and your vulva puppets, thank you so much for coming on. So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, to Aoife Breen, and to Hugo da Silva Scott, who was on sound, and thanks to all my guests, and as ever to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking on News Talk.